John chapter 6, while you guys turn there, one other thing I was thinking about, I think it was the second song, because it was the one Stacy picked about Master of the Tempest is raging, right? And so somewhere in that song, you know, I don't know how you guys are, but I try to pay attention to the words that we sing, and actually I will say I appreciate that about this congregation too. We do really try to filter the things that we sing through the Word of God, and if we need to make some changes to some words even to make sure it's scriptural and honoring God, we do that. But so in that song, I was thinking, you know, no matter what it was, the waves or demons or whatever it may be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of heaven, of ocean, heaven, earth, and skies. Okay. Yeah. I was going to forget ocean. But anyways, whatever it is, you get the point. But I was thinking, so, yeah, there's nothing that's going to rock Jesus' boat. Right? There's nothing. There's no way he's going down. So, the relevance to me, for that to hold true for me, where do I need to be? I need to be where Jesus is. I need to be in the boat. There's no safer place in the world to be than where Jesus is. Even though sometimes you're in the middle of the boat and there's a lot of waves, but that's the one safe place to be, right? So, and then every song after that, I just was noticing, it was talking about basically, you know, I don't remember them all, but there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, no. He's our friend. Follow the footsteps of Jesus. And he said he left those steps for us. He left for us to follow in his steps, right? Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. But he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. He left that example for us. Guys, Jesus is... he's amazing. And I just hope we all take some time and reflect. I mean, I hope we all do personally. And just, wow, who Christ is and what he's done and what he continues to do. Just be where Jesus is. Okay. All right, John chapter 6. We are going to pick it up here in verse 22. And last time we talked some about here... These guys were a little different situation than the one the song was talking about, but these guys were straining at the oars and weren't being able to make any progress, really. And Jesus comes passing by, and they're afraid, and he says, "It's I, do not be afraid." And then they ended up, immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. So let's pick it up in verse 22. It says, "The next day the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea thought there was no other small boat there except one. And that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the multitude therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?'" That's a loaded question, isn't it? "Jesus answered them and said, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal.'" People are interesting. Really, really interesting. And particularly non-believers. I mean, it's, I think we're, as Christians, we're interesting too in our growth process. And Lord willing, we're all growing and becoming more interesting in the right ways. But, you know, when you're working with the lost and you're out there and you're interacting with people, I mean, there are a lot of... there's a lot of weird, twisted motives that direct people to do the things that they do. Sometimes people are honestly looking. They're honestly searching for something better. And those are the people the Lord's looking for. You know what Phil was talking about on Lord's Day? People are not looking just for something new, but they're actually looking for the truth. Those are the kind of people the Lord's looking for. And us as His representatives and messengers, those are the kind of people we're looking for. But to find those people, you have to go through a lot of people that are looking for other stuff. Now, you might think, guys, read the account of Jesus. He's a master of communication. He is the Word. And yet, you look at Jesus in His work with people, in His earthly ministry, He had to go through a lot of people that had interest in Him for the wrong reasons to find the people that had interest in Him for the right reasons. It's just the truth. And so don't, you know, we can't expect it to be any different. And so one of the things we notice here about these people, and it's kind of funny actually, except it's not when you see it all around you, there are a lot of people who will work harder at getting out of work than doing work. You probably work with some of them. If they work. you see it from the time kids are in school all the way up through in the workforce. People look, you know, I think it's Mark Taylor, you know, don't confuse activity with productivity. There are people and that are pretty good at looking busy and getting absolutely nothing done. And these guys, I mean, the reality of it is that ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, guys, there is something that's going, it's called, you are going to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. God has that set up that way for a purpose. There's no shortcut in that. And as much as our wonderful federal government wants to tell you that there is a free lunch, there is no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody's working for it. You know, I kind of get a kick out of our government's talks about job creation. There's no such thing as creating jobs. Think about that. The government can't create jobs. There's work to do. You go do it or you don't. I was talking to my buddy Cody beforehand, and you know, people have ideas. Hey, you can go do those, or you cannot do those. But nobody else can create jobs. The reason that we're interested in that, though, as a people, as a society, is because a huge portion of our society is more interested. They work harder at getting out of work than at actually working. And guess that's the people we're bringing the gospel to. This is where we're at as a society. So when we bring the gospel to people, we're going to deal with some of the very same things that Jesus did with this group of people here. I think I mentioned it last week, but you know, Proverbs 30 verse 15. I just, God says it so. Don't you like some of those proverbs? They're just so straightforward, you know. Just some of them, you just get this picture in your mind, and you can't. And it's like, it's so true. But you know, the leech has two daughters, right? Give. Hey, the blood sucking leech. I want to suck off of you and what you're doing, and you give, you be a giver, and I'm going to be a taker. Hey, people are like that. And so, you know, I want you to turn with me really quick. We're coming back to John, believe it or not. I hope you can see where I'm coming from on this here. But in 2 Thessalonians, and this is a reminder, guys. This kind of stuff needs to continually be brought up in the Lord's church, because the flesh is lazy, in case you haven't noticed that. you know, one of the desires of the flesh is to stay in bed longer. To either hit snooze one more time or to unplug the alarm clock and, you know, that's the flesh. You know, so this battle of the spirit versus the flesh, we gotta continue to fight this and wage this war, and it includes making the body work when it doesn't want to work. And so, you know, the scripture says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, says, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread." Guys, we won't be a congregation of people who work hard and not be people who work hard at getting out of work. You know, sometimes we, you know, I like the fact that we can be honest with each other and tell each other what, you know, how we're feeling. That's a good thing. But, hey, how's it going? You know, hey, how's work treating? You know, that attitude goes south. And some of us sometimes, like, seems like every time we talk, it's bad news. There's an attitude we got to get right. The church is not the free lunch club. Okay? And Jesus himself isn't a proponent of that. Okay? We're going to see this if we follow through in the Gospel of John. So, you know, Jesus did feed the 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and a couple fish. He was willing to do that. In the church, we're willing to help. We're willing to, we meet people where they are. And sometimes, you know, Steve Doty's whole idea of humanitarian aid to get the opportunity to get to people. Sometimes you do have to meet people's physical needs in order to be able to reach their spiritual needs. But I think all of us, and I'm preaching it myself, we have to be aware that sometimes when we go and we're meeting somebody's physical needs, that's the extent of their interest. And if that's all they're interested in, that's not the kind of person God's looking for. It's not the kind of person that we're looking for as ministers of Christ. Does that make sense? Let's work through this here a little bit. It is interesting to me. You just take the lottery. The whole, you know, for the lottery to get however much money, sometimes I see the numbers, it's like, wow. Okay, the money is such that, as terrible as the odds are, the money, you know, and so there's a lot. What I'm saying is, for the money to get that big, there's a lot of people buying lottery tickets. A lot of people buying lottery tickets. Why is that? It's the appeal of getting something for nothing, isn't it? Hey. So, that's the context that I want to work on here a little bit tonight from John chapter 6. So we see, you know, the multitude gets there, sees Jesus isn't there. They get in this boat. They come to Capernaum seeking Jesus. They find him on the other side. And they want to know, Rabbi, when did you get here? They did put forth some effort to get there. And they, you know, piled into boats. It probably wasn't the most comfortable. They worked hard to get over there. And I can appreciate their efforts. But the way that Jesus responds, he flat out says, "You seek me not because you saw signs, because you ate of the loaves and were filled." And the follow-up of this conversation, as we get into this, we're going to see, you know, in their response, they're looking for an ongoing, continual free lunch. Jesus isn't interested in going down that road. Now, there is some effort put forth, and I appreciate that. My question to you, brethren, is, and it's ultimately Jesus' question, the point he's going to make here, but what is it that you're willing to work really hard to get? And we all got to work. Scriptural command. You know, somebody who doesn't provide for his own household, worse than an unbeliever. I understand there's a context there in terms of widows, but the principle, you read that in context, the principle is still, you have responsibilities, you take care of them. And if you refuse to take care of them, then don't call yourself a Christian. So I understand we have responsibilities. The scripture says we have a responsibility to work in the physical realm. But that being said, what are we really willing to work to get? You know, I have no problems, brother, and I think we're pretty good here. But in our prayer session, I've noticed recently the emphasis seems to be a little more to me on some of the physical things than the spiritual things. There ain't nothing wrong. Please don't get me wrong. When I said, we got brethren, you know, we got Michael Conover, you know, and I know your attitude is like, but we do care about you physically. You know, so I'm not saying, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, let's not bring up physical needs on the board. But let's remember what the scriptural thing is. The physical needs are never promised that God's going to take care of those in all the ways that we want Him to. What He offers is the spiritual needs to fill those. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 2. But that being said, even though it comes from the Lord, it's going to require some work. So let me just use this physical analogy that we all understand. Do we pray to the Lord for our daily bread? We're dependent on Him, aren't we? We realize any time, any one of us, tomorrow, if the Lord wanted to, He could jerk away whatever opportunities that we have right now to provide for our household. We are dependent upon the Lord. At the same time, when we pray to the Lord for our daily bread, we also follow up and we go and we work, don't we? Okay. Spiritually. You know, I was reading part of my daily Bible reading today is Luke's account of the Beatitudes. And, you know, blessed are those who hunger now, for they shall be satisfied. God wants people who are hungry. You read Matthew's account, he gives you a little more the full picture of that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's the kind of people God's looking for. Somebody who's hunger for spiritual things. And so, you know, I'll just posit the question to you tonight, and I'm primarily talking about us out in the world, and the kind I want us to think about when we're out there working with people in the world, what we're looking for. We're looking for people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We might go through a lot of people looking for a free lunch to get that. And I think it's a good idea. I actually enjoyed doing it. I think we should do it again. But remember the time that Clint put something together and we went down there and had the burgers and the cookout in the park? A lot of people showed up for that. Free burgers in the park. How many of those people, you know, followed up with something spiritual? I don't remember any from that particular setting. Not saying again. I like the idea. I think it's a good idea. But what I'm saying is, hey, that's one free meal. I got to admit, please don't accuse me of eating meat sacrificed to idols, but the earth's the Lord's and all it contains, right? So, if you understand that. But there's a place in our neighborhood, somebody by the Shrines, they put on something once a year and have free burgers. It's just a walk across the parking lot. I'll go over there and get a free lunch. It's like, hey, kids, let's go. Okay? Who's serving us food today? The Lord. Okay? The earth, the Lord's, and all it contains, and he's using these guys to do it. But anyways, I'll let you sort it. But hey, you know, there's free lunch. I'm in. Okay? But we want something more than that, don't we? Okay? Proverbs chapter 2. And let's just start in verse 1 here. My son, if you'll receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Does that sound like it's going to take some effort to go get this? You got to want this. And you got to want it bad enough to fight through a lot of barriers to get it. That's the kind of people the Lord's looking for. Those are the kind of people we're looking for. Now, you know, please don't misunderstand me. All along the way, you read the works of Christ and the things that he did. He's always trying to generate spiritual interest, isn't he? He's always putting seed out there. He's always doing things. But he's switching people over from physical desires to spiritual. And those who don't have that interest, he basically says next. Okay. Tough thing, guys. We got to do it. So, that effort's good. That effort's good, but it's got to be directed for the right thing. These guys put, you know, I don't know if, you know, how many of you have been third world countries, but you get a picture here. These guys all piling into the boats, trying to get over there to where they put some effort to get there to Jesus. They really, this is not a super convenient thing. They're following him around. That's a good thing. But they get there, and their question, again, was, Rabbi, when did you get here? What they really want to know is, hey, we saw, how in the world did you get here? He doesn't answer that question, does he? He goes right to it. He sidesteps that curiosity and gets to the real point. Because I just think, again, for myself, we, with people, and it's, again, it goes along with what Phil was saying on Sunday. People are interested in talking about lots of stuff, the curiosity, but do they really want the real deal? We got to get past some of you guys think, Luke, already you're a little edgy sometimes, and you get like my buddy Kendall, I like you a lot, Kendall. But I did feel like that one day afterwards, I was like, man, Julie and I went to lunch with Kendall and Tanina, and he hardly knew me. Poor guy, the next thing you know, I'm just like, did you feel like that a little bit? Not really? Oh, good. I didn't do too bad then. I thought later, I was like, but you know what? He's a good guy, and I saw, here's a guy who's interested in some truth, so let's lay it out there. We got to do that. Hey, Jesus gets right to the point here. He doesn't tell them how he got here. He just flat out says, hey, you guys looking for me? Not because you saw the signs, because you ate. By the way, what's the scripture say about, what was his attitude about people who were looking for signs anyways? An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, right? Like, this level, hey, people want the wow factor, right? People are interested in the, you know, and a lot of people like the show, the spiritual show, and get their little spiritual high in whatever form, and, you know, show me the sign, whatever that may be. And Jesus says, that's not what this is about. But this is something worse than that, isn't it? These guys aren't even looking for a sign. They're just looking for that free lunch. And so, you know, we want to be people, and we want to look for people who want the real deal. And so Jesus says here in John 6, verse 27, he says, don't work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. how hard, how much are we willing to work for this? You know, I think one of the dangers of the way that it's taught, that, you know, I had a wonderful conversation with a guy yesterday that I met in one of those circumstances the Lord just put in your lap and you can't miss it. But we got to sit down and talk. This guy's been conditioned. He's been taught in his religious world. Well, salvation's a free gift. And that is true. Scripture says that. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But his perception of that and the way it's been taught is this is something that's just given and it requires no response. Because that's not true. It is something that was paid in full, but it requires a response. So, one of the problems that I have with the false doctrine that's taught out there in reference to salvation isn't just that they miss some water here. It's like there's a purpose behind this, isn't it? You know, baptism now saves you. It's not the removal of dirt from the flesh. It's appeal to God for a good conscience, and it's through the resurrection of Christ.
And this is being pushed by all of society. We live in an entitlement attitude, and even in the next generation, Adam Summers, he's HR at the Blood Bank, I think. Anyhow, he's going up skiing, and he says the millennial generation, I think he said they were whiners. You know, they like to complain about this, that. They expected everything to be easy. And we just, our culture really is going that way. And so you need to be aware of that, you know. And in one sense, it's not surprising because the government's pushing that. I mean, there's a movement to really push this. Again, because then it gets everyone sucking off the government, then they get control of them. But I guess even spiritually, you're going to see that going. And it's not surprising because, as I believe we're getting near the end of all this thing, that, you know, the heart's going to grow cold, and Satan wants that. He wants everybody to think it's, you know, because then it's all about them. It's humanism. It goes back to the flesh, back to the person. So it's, you're going to see it more and more, so you just got to filter and try to find those who want to work for this.
Yeah, and we do have to be patient with people as they're learning, because some people never worked. We got to learn to work. But brethren, we got to learn to work. You know, if we're not learning to work, we got a problem, and we got to check that. But you're right, Larry. Really, in all these things, we're swimming upstream, and we have to. And the church has to. You know, we can't accept the culture of the world and say, "Oh, this is normal." It's not.
You know, lots of times I think that the third generation church can also fall into some of that. You know, being entitled to some of the benefits that they've been given just growing up in the church their whole lives and not, you know, having to fight for their own beliefs.
Amen. Yeah, that is very true. We got to be on guard against that because, yeah, when you got to go pay a price and you got to turn your back on family and some of those things to take truth, and now you've been raised and in some ways just given to you, we don't want to be those people. We want to be people who, Proverbs 2, go get this, right? And so that's, you know, that's a principle from Scripture. We got to be willing to go get it. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because that Proverbs passage was talking about wisdom, wasn't it? And so, and it's true. You got to get wisdom, guys, there's no shortcut in it. You got to go get it. And sometimes you make some mistakes along the way learning, but you got to fight through. You know, you got to seek your silver. There's some problems that come up when you're mining. You got all sorts of weather conditions you got to deal with. You got people trying to steal what you get. Hey, all this stuff translates into spiritual things. And again, you know, the devil, Larry, what you're talking about, the devil he's working in this, and he comes to steal, doesn't he? So he's going to try to steal the efforts that people do put in. But 1 Corinthians 1, I just want to hit this really quick. In verse 30, but by his doing, by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, just as written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Like, we're never going to say we got this. Okay? It was given to us by God. Okay? But Jesus is, when the scripture talks about wisdom in Proverbs, you parallel that over. Who is, that's ultimately, that's fulfilled in Jesus, isn't it? He became to us wisdom from God. And so we got to be willing to search for Jesus. You guys know Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. I think New King James and maybe Old King James, who diligently seek Him. I mentioned earlier, blessed are those who hunger. Now, they shall be satisfied. They shall be filled. Go with me to Luke chapter 13. So Matthew, the second generation and third generation church, you got to stay hungry for Christ. Keep pursuing, keep fighting through. And to understand, you know, the reality of it is, guys, there is plenty of potential to go fight for this if you want to. So, you know, what I'm saying is, for the second generation church, it was, okay, you heard this, you were raised this way, it was given to you, and what a blessing. What a blessing to hear. But, you want to go fight for it? Go start defending it. Right? How many times, I know a number of us in here have done a lot of Bible studies with people, but how many times did you actually learn stuff, really learn stuff, when you got asked questions that you didn't know the answer to? It gets you, it keeps you hungry. Working with the lost. I really liked Phil's message on the Lord's Day. It's an important part of shepherding, isn't it? It keeps you hungry. It helps you to grow and to know, to say, man, I got to find the answers to that. It keeps it even new, because the old story, when you're sharing it with other people, is still really new. I really, really enjoyed that. But, you know, we got to go fight for this. You know, the Mormons, they're all messed up. You know, there's no credibility or truth to what they believe. But one thing they, you know, from an organizational standpoint, they do some things very well. And one of the things they do, when they send all these 18-year-olds out there, take off the elder thing, but they go, you go on missions for a year and a half, and you got to go into people's homes, and you got to try to defend something. It's not likely, when you've spent a year and a half going through all sorts of tough questions and dealing with people, even they're defending something that's not true, it's not likely that thereafter they're going to turn their back on that. Just the nature of it. So, you know, second generation church, hey, go fight for this. You will get to defend it. And you will work for it to become your own. Hey, we should be doing that anyways. In the Word, but that's a great way to do it. Luke chapter 13. Just want to remind us of this one. Jesus says in verse 24. We got to jump up to 23. Let's jump up to 22. Jesus was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? I wonder where that question came from. Could have been some of the things Jesus was teaching. Could have been the response or lack of response of those who were listening. You look around, it's a pretty natural question that comes up, isn't it? And Jesus said in verse 24, He said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Brethren, we personally got to go after this with everything we got. I recently closed a Bible study that I got to have, and it was enjoyable. I liked this Bible study. But this person is at a time in their life, they have a decision that they have to make, and I can't make the decision for them. They know enough. See what the Scripture is. There's some barriers there, and I can't make that for them. I can't strive to enter for you. You can't strive to enter for me. husband, wife. I mean, we can help each other. Don't get me wrong. I said earlier, the church, we help each other, right? And in the lost, hey, Jesus is working. You're going to see as he goes through John 6, he's working these guys, okay, to find out who is interested in something spiritual, who's willing to go after it. But, you know, a couple things. Jesus is not particularly concerned about the number of people that are tagging along behind him. What he's concerned about is that those who are with him are really with him for the right reasons. And so he's doing stuff and he's putting truth out there. See, who really wants this for what it is? So, brother, I want to encourage you. When you work with the lost and you really work with them, it can be incredibly discouraging. Because a lot of people, when it comes down to it, just aren't that interested. They're interested. They have no spiritual follow through. They don't want it bad enough to pay a price of truth to go grab that free gift. It's been given to us, but you got to get it. And so, I want to encourage you guys. Hey, Jesus deals with the same stuff. I want to encourage me because, you know, sometimes I love new people and getting to sit down. And I don't know. There's some things this guy said that be interesting. But I want to give him a shot and I'm going to have fun giving this guy a shot to make it. I'm going to have a lot of fun doing that. But sometimes, you know, you start looking in that rearview mirror and think all the people you've taken shots with. It can get a little discouraging. Jesus did it. And I just want to encourage us to follow through, you know, follow his pattern and what he did, and keep looking for those who really want this thing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people in their self-talk will say, I'm striving. But what they're really doing is they're wanting to broaden those boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I've been guilty. I've been guilty of that myself. And that's when our self-examination comes in. Because, and the other thing, the other side of that, and when he says strive, that to me communicates it's not only a gift that is conditional in which you have to reach out to accept it, but you have to work to strive to reach it.
Yeah. And you know, Mike, again, there's some overlap here, but in Matthew's account, where Jesus says the gate's small. You know, the gate's small, but he doesn't stop his sentence there. The gate's small and the way is narrow. It's like you can get in the gate, but you got to still stay on the narrow way. And that's not easy either. The devil's willing to offer a lot of easy detours off that path, guys.
I think there's one of the things that I encounter anyway when working with the lost is that they get to a point where they begin to realize what they've always believed is wrong. And or at least you started to chip away at that. And instead of responding with, wow, I realize this is going to be a lot of work to figure all this out and I'm going to have to unlearn a bunch of stuff, they get scared and they leave. And they're not willing to do the work to really follow this out to the end. And, you know, that passage out of 2 Thessalonians, it says, it doesn't say if a man cannot work. It says if a man will not work. You know what? That's the same thing with the spiritual food. If you're not going to work for it, you're not going to get it.
That's right. So. That is, you know, very, very, very true, Jared. And so, you know, it's a, and we're gonna work on that a little more next week. You know, Jesus is gonna say what the work of God is, okay? And you know, the work of God is to believe in Him, whom God sent. But faith in itself requires effort, doesn't it? So, you know. I guess I want to close with this idea here. Please don't misunderstand. God cares about every one of us personally in terms of, you know, God cares about Michael Conover and what he's encountering here with cancer. God has an interest in Michael's physical health. But what God really interested in Michael's physical health and in Justin Bolton's and in Stacy Taylors and then Luke Wilson. You know, I'm not saying there's anything I know, Stacy, with you or me, but you know. But what I'm saying is God cares about us, but He doesn't really that He's not particularly focused on trying to protect this earthly tent that's intended to decay because it's a temporal thing. What God's particularly interested in is getting this inner man, first of all, saved, and then changed for that body of glory. That's what the Lord's particularly interested in. And so, you know, I just want us to remember that what on the list of what is really important in my life, in your life, and when we get it right, if I figure this out, and my prayer, and my focus is the spiritual things, that overflows in the way I interact with every single person around me, doesn't it? The things that I'm going to want to talk to people about, you know what, maybe we are a little edgy sometimes on that, because that really matters. But you know, people are interested in truth, they don't care. They like it. If you look them in the eyes and you say, this is the one thing that matters. Jesus did. I don't care about the physical food. Let's talk about the food that's going to make it for life eternal. Jesus is a great example, guys. He's our friend. He, where He is. If we're where He is, there are going to be storms, there are going to be controversies, there are going to be people that don't like us, but there are no safer place to be. Let's follow His example. And have fun doing it, because it really is fighting for what's right and true and fighting for this faith, right? It was once for all, contending earnestly for the faith. That's a fun thing to do. So, let's have fun doing it.